Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who seems to be having a lovely time with his wife in a cabin out in the mountains of Vancouver, British Columbia, I believe on the western side of the island. Bill, I hope you're having a great time. Ray, what a morning. Beautiful morning weather this morning, and it's a beautiful day out here in Tucson, Arizona. On the live line with me now is General John Wickham. He's U.S. Army retired. He was appointed by President Reagan as the 33rd U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Prior to his position, he commanded all American and U.N. forces in Korea and wrote Korea on the Brink about the challenges he faced. He also served on the Secretary of Defense Policy Board, was Vice Chairman of the U.S.-China National Committee. He served two combat tours in Vietnam, seriously wounded on the first tour. He earned two Silver Stars, a Bronze Star for Valor, and a Purple Heart. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in uniform. In 1987, he retired with 8 Distinguished Service Medals. General Wickham now resides in Oro Valley, Arizona. General Wickham, welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Thank you very much, and I wish Bill a good trip up in British Columbia.
Yeah, I've been up there a few times myself, and it is just absolutely beautiful this time of year. General Wickham, a lot has happened this week in Korea, and I want to thank you so much for, on short notice, being able to come on the show. Some upfront questions. First off, we all know that at this point, the North Koreans have fired another missile, and this time over mainland Japan, the island of Hokkaido. And there was no response. Where is our anti-missile defense system? Why didn't we shoot it down? And could we have shot it down if we'd wanted to?
Yes, we can shoot it down. We have tested the anti-missile capabilities, very effective, probably 110% capability to do that. And just like the Israelis have done with their capabilities, which we've helped them build. So we have that capability. It's important, I think, for Americans to understand the paranoia that North Korea feels towards the West. They have been invaded by Japan and by the United States and even Russia years ago. So there is a paranoia. And that's why the North Koreans will never, in my opinion, give up nuclear weapons. They see them as their guarantee of security and a livelihood for the future. But I do think that we can work with them, negotiate with them. Look what we have done with Iran to get them to back off for 25 years in building a nuclear capability. So I think we can do it with North Koreans if we're smart about it. And I don't know that we're smart enough about it, given what we're seeing in the White House and in the State Department. But I think we can do it, but it's going to take some very clever diplomacy and persistence. Now, are we facing danger? No. We're facing a challenge that the North Koreans will continue to test missiles. They have 40 nuclear weapons in the makings of probably 40 more. They're never going to give them up, as I said earlier. But I think we can work to constrain them the way we did with the Soviet Union during the Cold War.
Yes, sir. One of the things that you mentioned is the White House and the State Department, and it seems that there has been a dramatic shift in terms of how we're dealing with North Korea. Our friend Steve Herman at the Voice of America asked the president the question, I believe it was yesterday morning, Mr. President, what are we going to do about North Korea? And the president said, we'll see, we'll see. And that seems to coincide with his more belligerent dealings earlier, where we've talked about the fire and fury of the United States of America on North Korea if they shot a nuclear weapon. So it seems to me also that the State Department is also holding a much harder line, both publicly and privately in diplomatic negotiations. Now, is this just a reflection of people's frustration with North Korea's leadership, Or is this something that do you think will continue to be the policy of the United States for a while?
I think it's going to continue to be a policy, you pointed out, very important, being tough with North Korea. I think that's the reality. The only way you're going to deal with them is to be strong-willed and strong-voiced and strong in positions. And I think we're showing North Korea that we're in that position. However, there needs to be some compromises. Now, what's going on right now, as you know so well, are these joint exercises that we do twice a year, every year. We send thousands of troops over to Korea to train with the South Koreans. And the North Koreans see this as preparing for an invasion. If I were a North Korean, that's the way attitude I would have. And when I was a commander over there, I offered the North Koreans the chance to send military observers to the exercise. The Chinese told me indirectly, directly as a matter of fact, that they thought that was a gangbusters idea, but they couldn't persuade the North Koreans to accept it. I think we could do things like that. Should we continue the exercises? I don't think so. I don't think they're necessary the way they used to be. We can use computer simulations. We can do smaller exercises. But if this is creating a problem, let's see if we can back off creating a problem.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about those exercises because, I was in the Navy for 10 years, from 1982 to 1992, and we did those same kind of exercises where we used to do the mirror image, where we were actually doing the exercises in Western Europe, but they were mirror image of what we would really be doing in Eastern Europe and Russia. And again, let the Russians, pretty much we opened everything up and let the Russians watch what we did so that they could see what kind of devastation would happen to them should they ever invade Western Europe. And I think the idea of inviting the North Koreans as observers was a fantastic idea. However, that goes against their propaganda because their leadership stays in power with fearful propaganda of we can be invaded at any time. Look, they're preparing for it right now, even though it's a twice a year thing. Is there a way to penetrate North Korean propaganda and speak to the people directly?
Yeah, the South Koreans have been trying to do this for a couple of decades, sending balloons, as a matter of fact, with messages and money and medicines over North Korea, which aggravates the North Koreans, but it's been going on. So the South Koreans have been trying to send messages of openness and opportunity to North Korea. So it can be done. Whether it's successful or not remains to be seen. Can you penetrate North Korea's radio waves? No, I don't think so, because they'll dominate them. The North Koreans can jam radio signals at will. But I do think that there are things that can be done the way the South Koreans are doing right now and have done, if we can persist in it. You make an excellent point about how the North Koreans react. They would not send observers, I don't think, now, because in a way that's sort of recognizing these exercises. However, why not do the offer? Why not make the offer through China and have your representatives come with Chinese representatives to the exercises? We've never done it that way, although I try to do it during my tenure. I think we got to work harder.
Well, and I think that you might have some allies more today than ever before in the Senate and in Congress in terms of, you know, let's get China much more involved here and to the table and make, you know, let's put the responsibility for all of this back into Chinese hands, who seem to have a limited amount of influence over North Korean leadership. But I just think that, you know, from everything that I've heard from what Senator McCain has said and what the Congressional House Armed Services Committee says, that they would be amenable to let's try one more time, one other way before we start getting more belligerent with them.
Amen. Amen. You're exactly right. A belligerent is not a smart thing to do. When you think about it, you understand this in spades. The distance from downtown Seoul, which is a city like Los Angeles, with subways and big buildings, to the DMZ is the same distance from Oro Valley to Davis-Monthan. 80% of the South Korean people are under artillery range from North Korea. So a war over there would be devastating. We're talking of millions of people being killed. So the idea of a preemptive attack by the United States is crazy, in my humble opinion. But I think there are things we can do. We can knock out their missiles. You know this better than many people. Why have many of the missiles that North Korea has tried to fire failed on takeoff? Guess what? I believe that we are jamming their capabilities through cyber warfare.
Outstanding. Hold on for one more segment, General Wickham. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what our capabilities are. And you're listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season this Saturday, September 2nd, with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets and learn more about bringing home your own Gronk bobblehead, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12. Come out and support our Wildcats and bear down.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster, the Buckmaster Show, featuring Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Always on BuckmasterShow.com for all of our podcasts. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI.
And welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm James Kelly, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fitton Park. Check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and green things. For more, visit Green Things Arizona. GreenThingsAZ.com. On the line with me is General John Wickham, and we were talking about what the North Korean capabilities were. We talked a little bit about what he believes our diplomatic mission should be with regards to dealing with North Korea. General, one of the things I wanted to talk about is our capabilities. Now, my understanding is that we have deployed around high-value targets in Japan and South Korea, the SM-3, the SM-1, and the SM-2 surface-to-air missiles that are specifically designed for intercept. Is that correct, sir?
That's right. You remember the name THAAD, the Terminal High Altitude Air Defense System, which the South Koreans originally did not want, because they felt it would provoke the North Koreans and the Chinese. Chinese did not like the idea either. But now they reversed their position, and they want the THAAD deployed throughout South Korea. It's been very capable as a system, and it'll knock down virtually any ballistic missile. So, and the Japanese will want the same thing.
Now, let me ask you a question. Recently, we have had very, very successful launches of the SM-6 missile, which also is designed as a basic missile defense system. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, that's right.
So, is SM-6 part of terminal high altitude destruction? Is that the THAAD? Is that is what it is? Or defense, excuse me, terminal high altitude defense. So is the SM-6 part of that THAAD process or that THAAD system?
I think so, but I'm not positive about it. I'm not up to speed on the technology, but clearly the technology of knocking down ballistic missiles is in hand, and we are leading the pack that way. So the North Koreans face some considerable threats in terms of knocking down their systems. And as I mentioned earlier, cyber warfare, we're very capable about that, and we have been, I believe, interfering with the North Korean launches. And we can do that, and we can also, if necessary, strike North Korea, although most of their nuclear capabilities are underground in tunnels, in mountains. So very difficult to take it out. And I think a strike on North Korea clearly begins war.
Correct.
The Koreans. So we don't want to do that. The South Koreans don't want to do that. And the Chinese don't want to do that. Now, you mentioned China. There's another country, Russia. And Russia can play a constructive role. I've spoken with Russians on the border with North Korea years ago when I was a commander. And So Russia can play a constructive role. We have not activated that role yet, but we can, we should. So I think there are things that can be done, like the six-party negotiating routine that has been dormant now for about 6 or 7 years. That can be reconstructed.
General Wickham, I've got a couple of callers on. Are you ready to take a phone call?
Sure, sure.
All right, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on with General John Wickham.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Hi, General Wickham. Yes, I was in the Air Force for about 24 years, and most of that time I spent with working on missile systems. The next time North Korea shoots a missile across Japan, I think we better demonstrate this capability of ours and shoot them down and shoot one down.
Thank you, Chuck.
Shoot one down.
General, go ahead, General.
I think you've got a good point there, Chuck. We may be at the point where we got to demonstrate to North Korea now that we can do it. However, once you begin to do things like that, you've got to recognize it's an act of war. That's how the North Koreans are going to respond. So are we prepared to go to war with North Korea? I don't think we are prepared for it, although we could. And we would wipe North Korea off the face of the earth if necessary. But I don't think we're ready for war yet. I think there are many other opportunities for negotiation that we have not exhausted.
General, one of the things that came across a couple of days ago is recognizing the fact that the two of our destroyers, the USS John McCain and the USS Fitzgerald, that have had problems in the Seventh Fleet, they are Aegis-class missile defense destroyers, and they carry the SM-6. Their job is to help shoot down those missiles. If we have a Seventh Fleet that is overworked, sailors who normally were working 80 hours at sea are now working 110 hours a week at sea. We have shortages of equipment, shortages of training. Training time has been cut down. These are all things that are affecting our military that actually affect our ability to prosecute a war with North Korea as well. Is that correct?
Amen. You put your finger on a major problem. There's been a lot of talk from the Republican Congress about being tough and building the military. Guess what? The Republican Congress has failed to fund the Veterans Administration as well as the military. And the sequestration, as you know, has been a devastating impact. Never intended to be used that way, but it's had a devastating impact. And the military has suffered. And we can fix it if the Congress wakes up and starts funding the military and the VA the way they should, the way Obama administration and the Trump administration have asked for. But the Congress is not doing its job.
We have another caller for you, General. Rita is on the line. Rita, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question for you. Since North and South Korea are right there together, is there any way to take care of North Korea without lots of South Koreans getting killed?
General?
Rita, good question. No. In my humble opinion, having served for years in Korea and even actually being in North Korea, you can't do it that way. The proximity is there, just like Canada and the United States are so close. Mexico and the United States are so close. That's why it's a nutty idea to try to build a wall. I think we got to have better relations with Mexico than walls.
So, good economics with each other would probably help, right? That would probably keep people
amen.
In Mexico if they had good jobs that were paying as well as they paid here in the United States.
Amen. And you see, actually, they've improved. And the border, the cross-border activity has declined substantially because better jobs are going on.
You're absolutely right, General. General, one other thing, and I think this goes to Rita's question. When we prosecute war, warriors are the first ones to tell politicians or presidents, you cannot prosecute war without the loss of life. You cannot prosecute war without the loss of your own innocent people. When you go to war, you take the whole country to war, and they better be prepared to do it. And you can't just have people, you know, throwing rocks on the sideline and criticizing everything. Once that decision is made, everybody has to be in. Everybody has to understand exactly what's going to happen.
You're exactly right. And the difficulty, you understand it in spades, less than 0.5% of our nation's population serves in uniform. We have the lowest number in Congress and state legislatures in our history that have ever served in uniform. Therefore, there is gross ignorance about the sacrifices that are going to come from war. We have to turn that around. Should we have universal service? No, I don't think that will ever sell. But I do think we need to recognize that we don't have very many people serving in uniform today.
And a lot of that has to do with, what did we call it, mental, moral, and physical qualifications. We don't have a youth between the ages of 17 and 21 that are morally, mentally, and physically qualified for military service at the requirements for war. And we've got to work on that as a people. General Wickham, again, thank you so very much for the short notice that I gave you to be on the show today. I think you've enlightened us and illuminated everyone as to exactly what is going on in North Korea and what we can and cannot do there. General Wickham, thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
God bless. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir. When we come back, we're going to talk to a lady who is actually providing housing to our forgotten veterans. And these are the folks that that fought our wars in the past.
Another summer day has come and gone away from Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all...
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
You got a friend in me, you've got a friend in me.
And we're back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. We're at KVOI 10:30 a.m. We are taking calls at 520-790-2040. Well, last portion of the show, we were with General John Wickham talking about what it would mean to go to war in North Korea. Well, we know what it means to come back from war. And one of those is that many times over the last 30 years, much to the shame of our country, our veterans did not return home to hugs and kisses and family. They returned home to people that forgot who they were. And for various reasons, many of our veterans got caught up in a number of different negative life experiences, whether it be contact with civil authorities that didn't understand the effects of PTSD. They didn't understand just how much war, combat, and even what we called in my day combat other than war, how it affects people and what it does to them when they come home. Wives that didn't understand, divorces that occurred because a wife didn't understand when a man woke up with night terrors and didn't understand all the horror that people had gone through. And they just were afraid, and they left, and it broke apart families, and it left veterans, oftentimes earning much less than their contemporaries, and put them in financial and economic hardship, to where they finally found themselves homeless. Well, guess what? There are good people in this world, and those people have come together and created an environment called the Redwood Lodge on Benson Highway. They bought an old motel that had been running down for years in a very rundown part of town and have completely renovated. And with me now is Lori Owen and her friend Kevin Mills, who is a resident at the Redwood Lodge. Is that correct, Kevin?
Yes, sir, it is.
Outstanding. Lori, tell me about the beginning and where you're at today.
So I purchased the property in February of this year. We gutted it within probably a month and had the first 8 units filled within the first 30 days. And so continued on then with the main hotel, keeping in mind this hotel was built in 1947. It had good bones to begin with, which was the reason that I was attracted to it.
Well, one thing we know is that the water infrastructure of that hotel is good. Do we know why? Because my grandfather put the put the water tank in there. In, well, I think it was 1957 is when we saw that on the plate, right?
Right, yep, yeah. Yep.
The good thing about this is that what happened was is that along the Benson Highway, we had a lot of homeless veterans. We had homeless veterans living out in the middle of the desert.
Yes.
There was a lot of contact, unfortunately, with civil authorities and with police, often for some of the pettiest of things. These were men that had been homeless not just a couple of months, but for a long, long time, and it had become their lifestyle. And they had made the south of Tucson home.
Yes.
The washes, the desert, the doorways of various places. Along with Their issues, of course, were various abuses of self-medication and or alcohol. And that would put them even into more civil things. And then trying to get down to the VA for any kind of for treatment or help,
right.
Not only for substance abuse or any of the PTSD issues, but just their basic health issues was difficult to get to the VA. Why? Because they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a permanent address. Kevin, am I telling your story?
Pretty much you are, yes.
Well, why don't you tell me your story, Kevin? Kevin Mills.
I moved to Tucson in February. Things didn't quite work out where I was at. I did become homeless. Didn't know where I was going to go day to day. I was pretty much rescued by Primavera and Project Action, and was given the opportunity to move into the Benson Lodge, and decided to. And I'll tell you this, it was the best choice I've made in a long, long, long time.
Good. Good. And the good thing about it is that the Redwood Lodge is locally owned.
Yes, it is.
By Lori Owen. And you're only housing veterans.
Correct.
And these veterans have been able to get either a housing voucher through local community services like Primavera or the VA itself. Is
or
that
Red
right?
Red Cross. Correct.
And Red Cross and a number of different community service organizations.
Correct.
So here we have a private part public partnership, primarily through nonprofit charitable organizations, but also the VA can also say, hey, straight up, I have a housing voucher for you.
Absolutely.
And there's room at the
right.
Redwood Lodge
Absolutely.
For you right now
today. We accept Section 8. And I on my literature and on the Facebook page, I don't like to say homeless because...
Houseless.
Yeah, and I want to give them their dignity back.
Right.
And we are the first of its kind in Southern Arizona, and we are exclusively veteran only. So it originally had a pool. If you can remember the old motor lodges of the 40s. So this was a typical motor lodge. And if people would go to my Facebook page, I've got a great video on there from 1951 that shows the original when some people came out here, I think from Wisconsin and were visiting, and what Benson Highway looked like then. And completely reformed this property. Filled in the pool, made a community garden. But I really wanted this to be a community. I wanted these veterans to watch out for each other. I wanted them to have a sense of community within my 24 units, that they check on each other, that there is a friendship and a bond, because they have been through a lot of the same situations. That's why I put up all the flags from the different service branches of service around so that they could see and be reminded that I'm supporting them as well. It's, again, the community aspect of this is so important, but one of the aspects of this property is it does sit on a direct bus line to the VA hospital. I'm 4 miles away. Most of my veterans do not have transportation. They rely on public transportation for their means. So,
And again, they're far more likely to make their appointments, go to and take care of their health if they have a permanent residence, and it's a straight shot. They're not literally in the transportation system for 3 hours to make a 20-minute appointment.
Right. Right,
it's
right.
a straight shot down to the VA on Benson Highway. Right to 4th and I-10, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, or 6th and I-10, excuse me. And now let's talk about life while you're living there. I mean, I'm assuming that you're making friends with the other veterans. Is that right, Ken?
I am. Like Lori said, we have this special bond that a lot of people wouldn't understand. We look out for each other. We take care of the people that are there. It's like we were in the military together.
Mm-hmm.
We cook for each other. We bring each other meals.
And you're far more forgiving, I think, of each other's idiosyncrasies, yes. peccadillos, and quite frankly, life events that happen to each other.
Yes.
You're far more forgiving of it. You don't see them as impositions on your life. You see them as opportunities to help a brother or sister that,
right.
that,
exactly.
that has served.
Exactly.
Yeah. What a concept, huh?
It is.
Well,
it
and is. So I also host barbecues. We had one on the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and we have another one coming up here this Sunday. So I want my veterans to know that I support them, and it's a great way to communicate and to interact over food.
Is the garden producing any food yet?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You guys eating it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Are you harvesting it? And you're,
yes.
You're
watermelon,
making...
zucchini, eggplant, green beans,
tomatoes,
basil, like you wouldn't believe.
Are you going to see any chickens?
Rosemary's.
Free-range chickens running
I'm
around?
I'm thinking of a chicken coop. Yeah, I'm thinking of the chicken coop.
Outstanding. Listen, we're going to take a break. And again, that's the Redwood Lodge. If you know a houseless veteran that could use that needs a place to stay, you are literally one by one renovating
yes.
the rooms. And as they come available,
they're all renovated. They're ready to go.
They're ready to go. And you know, talk to Primavera, talk to Red Cross, talk to the VA itself. But there is a place for a houseless veteran to call home. If
right.
If they want it, right?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show, KVOI 1030 The Voice. Phone number is 520-790-2040.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
And we're back on the Bill Buckmaster Show. This is James Kelly sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster program is brought to you by Silver City. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours each way from Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And we are back with the owner of the Redwood Lodge, Lori Owen, and one of the residents of the Redwood Lodge, Kevin Mills. Now, Lori, what are the things that we are dealing with? This is a reality, regardless of the various statures that go on with the military. We have houseless veterans with substance abuse issues, and the lodge itself doesn't do any treatment.
Correct.
But you have people ready to go. You have services available. They know where to get to them.
Absolutely.
And if there's anybody that is servicing people with substance or alcohol issues, they can come to the Redwood Lodge. Is that correct? Like if somebody wanted to start an AA meeting or an NA meeting.
Absolutely. We would welcome that. So, you know, most all of my vets, because they're referred to me from either Primavera, Red Cross, or the VA.
They're already in crisis.
They're already in crisis, but they also have caseworkers that will check on them. I've got one gentleman who's pretty much housebound, and a nurse comes to visit him on a weekly basis. So, yes, they're not just put into my Redwood Lodge and then left and forgotten about. So the caseworkers come by on a monthly basis. If I have any issues with the residents, we go ahead. I have their numbers. I'll call them and say, hey, this is something you might want to be aware of. May want to come by and make another visit, see what's going on, whether it's them not thriving, whether they're staying in their apartment a lot and not cleaning themselves, not taking their trash out, that type of thing that I start to notice. If they're not thriving, then I want to get them help. And so a lot of times I'll end up calling their caseworkers and they'll do a home visit and see what other assistance can be made.
Kevin, this is also part of the uniqueness of this community is, again, you guys are looking out for each other.
Right.
You can walk up to the veteran. I mean, the owner of the lodge may not necessarily, you know, have the right to confront somebody with behavior, confront somebody with an issue that says, hey, man, are you all right? But you guys are much more likely to be able to, you know, go knock on the door and say, hey, brother, what's going on? Right?
Right.
The other side of the coin is this. Are there people that are what are they doing about their spiritual life? I mean, I don't necessarily mean, you know, religion. I'm talking about, you know, their spirit. What are there any groups forming, like an AA or an NA group? Or I think there's like maybe three or four churches within walking distance of the Redwood Lodge.
Yes.
So
and there are some of them that do go to certain meetings. But for the most part, we will we'll sit around and talk about it.
Right.
We'll sit around. And I do have a special bond with a lot of guys there that we can talk, that we're open with each other and honest with each other, and we don't judge each other.
Right.
Some of the issues you were talking about, I've had those issues. I guess I've been set free. I don't have a caseworker anymore. I'm living on my own, on my will, you know, and had it not been for Lori, and I praise her every day for this, mm-hmm. She's given me an opportunity to work there with her and it's just brought me closer to the rebuilding and the success at the Redwood Lodge, and having this openness, just a personal relationship with everybody that lives there.
I got to tell you, I know a lot of people they live in gated communities and they don't even know who their neighbors are. They live in apartment complexes,
right.
And they don't even know who their neighbors are.
Right.
And we have people that, and by the way, I don't care who you are. I don't care how successful. Lori and I have a common friend who died from his disease of clinical depression just recently.
Yes.
And prayers for the family of Will Cardin. So we know, we get it, we understand. And I think that's probably one of the most important things is, you know, brothers and sisters that understand each other's experiences. Each of us are going to experience it a little bit differently. Each of us are going to have our own other issues, you know, not service related, as the VA likes to say. but at least that spiritual portion of us is being handled. It's being, you know, even if we are isolating, there's somebody that's going to knock on the door and say,
yep,
what's going on, man?
Yeah, right. And if, again, it's a check system. I want to make sure that I see my veterans. I'm down there almost every day. So, and if I'm not, I'll say to Kevin, have you seen so-and-so in... No, I haven't, but I heard his TV on. I go, okay, that's great, but I want you to go knock on his door and just make sure everything's okay. This gentleman happens to be in a wheelchair.
Sure.
I want to make sure that he's not fallen. I want to make sure that he's okay. So it is a safe community. We self-monitor.
One of the things that you have done, and I don't think you completely understand the impact. Maybe you do because you are in Tucson Police Fellowship. What is it called?
I'm a community service
community
officer.
Community service officer.
I'm a reserve officer.
A reserve officer with the Tucson Police Department. What you have done is you have moved the needle.
Yeah.
In such a way on the south side that you have freed up the resources at the Pima County Sheriff's Office. They are not making stops, and they are not being called to domestic situations anymore because, you know, the neighbor called and said, I heard him yelling and screaming. Well, he might have been yelling and screaming at the TV for whatever reason, but still, you know, oh, that crazy vet, he's going to do something, right?
Right.
So those calls have really dropped dramatically along the Benson Highway just because of this community. Because you have people with understanding and know what a trigger is and what is just, you know, blown off smoke.
Right.
And that's a really good thing. Gee, wouldn't it be nice if all of our neighborhoods could do that with each other?
And as I was saying when we went to break the last time, I decided when I did this that I wanted to have barbecues to bring all of the guys and gals out of their rooms like once a month. So we did it on Memorial Day. We did it on 4th of July. And we're going to do it again this Sunday for Labor Day. But I invited the sheriff's officers to come by, the deputies.
Right.
I invited several TPD officers that weren't on duty to come by, not just to see what I had done, but for a lot of these guys, because they have not had positive interactions with law enforcement, I wanted to change that. And the commander who came by that day stayed almost the entire barbecue until he had a call he had to go to. And they understood that... oh, these are humans. These are guys just like us that are responding to emergencies and everything else. So it's a safe community. But I also learned that because of the PTSD issues, vets do better when they're in a more rural environment. And so that was one of the other benefits of the Redwood Lodge.
That's the great thing about it. It really does still have the feel of the old motor courts, a motor court when it was brand new, not the motor courts today that have been run down to, you know, nothing and not taken care of and run by some out-of-state slumlord. That's one of the other good things about this community is local ownership, local pride in both the aesthetics and the intent of the community. Lori, I want to thank you so very much
You're
for
very
coming
welcome.
On the show today. Kevin, it was great meeting you, brother.
Thank you.
And
thank you for having us.
You know, good job to you guys, and keep up the good work. And maybe somehow, some way, we'll be able to duplicate this a few times throughout
absolutely.
Our community.
Absolutely.
I want to thank everybody for listening in today. You've been listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. Bill will be returning next week, and he's having a great time up in British Columbia. I've had a fantastic time guest hosting this show, and I always love the guests that I have. Thank you, General John Wickham. Thank you, Lori Owen, again. And thank you, the listeners of the Bill Buckmaster Show.